This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana, and the region that we call Acadiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses across the country, functioning as their complete IT department. From networks to phones, hosting of servers, and a service-oriented help desk, Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work, we understand. If you're wondering if Raider could help your growing business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com, or even better, stop by their offices and see the team in action. It's always enjoyable when we can celebrate the warm joie de vivre, or joy of living, of our local people, and today is no exception. Humor and a fun-loving spirit define today's guest, Al Hebert, otherwise known as the Gas Station Gourmet. Al explores America's undiscovered culinary treasures across the United States, which happens to be gas station food. While we all plan stops on road trips for fuel and restroom breaks, most people don't give much thought to the cuisine found at a gas station. But as Al Hebert has found out and shares passionately with a wide audience, gas station food can rival anything your grandmother could cook. Al Hebert takes viewers to unique restaurants inside big truck stops and convenience stores. He showcases mom-and-pop owners of these stores, celebrating the indomitable spirit of the great American entrepreneur who offers everything from delectable chicken salad to boudin to eggplant dressing. The Gas Station Gourmet offers a lighthearted look at outstanding examples of the more than 154,000 convenience stores across our country. Al's journeys have even uncovered the best jail food in America, as well as prisoners who bake bread for civic clubs right here in South Louisiana. In addition to his work as Gas Station Gourmet, Al Hebert writes monthly for the National Association of Convenience Stores. He's a healthcare journalist and media consultant, and also works right here at KADN News in Lafayette as morning show producer. Al, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Well, Jan, thanks for having me. I appreciate that very much. Great to be here.
I'm excited about this. We met through a mutual friend, Sean Trichalik, who many people know locally. He used to be on the radio as Charlie Roberts, and now is the manager of KADN,
yes.
And I know you enjoy working with
him. Oh, yeah, Sean's a great guy. It's a great place. Yeah, he's created a great place to work.
Yeah, I really enjoy what you're doing at the station. We're really here to talk about anything you'd like to, but if you could talk first about your background and how you ended up where you are today.
Well, you know, it was really an accident. We were shooting a project. For the past 16 years, we've been a very small independent production company and primarily shooting medical projects for television, and eventually from television to the internet. And so about 10 years ago, we go into this little store, and it smelled like your grandmother's kitchen. And I'm thinking, you know, so I pop around the store and say, well, you know, are they cooking in here? It can't be. It's a gas station. And I go around to the back, and sure enough, there is a kind of like a little buffet serving area, and a lady cooking back there. And she had pork roast and rice and gravy and green beans. And I said, hey, do you cook here every day? Every day, you know? And I'm like, wow. And so we had lunch there, and I told the videographer that was with me, I said, you know, if there's one or two more of these, you know, we could shoot a couple of these. We'll call up the Gas Station Gourmet, have a little bit of fun. Maybe we'll make some money on it eventually, but, you know, mostly we'll get some free meals, I'll bet.
So not a lot of thought behind it, just like an inspiration.
Not a lot of thought. I mean, I put about as much thought into this as I did having children. You know, I just never even, you know, boom, one day you're a dad. I'm like, oh, my God, how does that happen? And it was the well water, for people who may not be curious about that. So we know we started stopping in gas stations and, you know, around Texas and Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. I found great barbecue. I mean, just amazing food. Uh-huh. And the next, you know, I started exploring it throughout the country. And, you know, I walk into this, you know, tiny little station in a place called Noonday, Texas. There's 777 people there. And I walk into this blue Chevron station, and there's Cornish game hen.
Oh, my gosh.
There's amazing food in there. There's cobbler, and, You know, the guy behind the counter was wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and he was a chef. And come to find out, he was a classically trained chef, went to the Culinary Institute of America, but came back to this little tiny town to run this place with his dad. Mm-hmm. And every day he would go out and find fresh fruit and you know, make these wild and crazy dishes in a town of 777 people. And I realized that, and I had lunch there, and people mm-hmm. just came in. I knew this had to be people that were coming from other places.
Right.
And his food was drawing people to the store. And, you know, you find these kind of places, and you find that it's not necessarily the price on gas that will draw people inside. Often these places, their gas is more expensive, but it's the food that draws mm-hmm. people in. But I still find people who are very reluctant to go inside. And every month I interview someone for Knacks Magazine for one of the stories I do. And I always hear this thing, well, you know, we got to deal with the stigma. And the stigma of eating in a gas station. And, you know, it's so true. I was at a meeting at a big hospital in Texas, and we were sitting one of those big tables, you know, that they have in these impressive boardrooms. And, you know, when the meeting was over, I said, hey, does anybody know whether a gas station has good food? And, you know, everyone sitting there looked at me like I was crazy.
Oh, really?
Oh, they looked like I was nuts. You know, I've never eaten a gas station.
Oh, my goodness. They're not from Louisiana.
They're not from Louisiana. And, but yeah, people are very reluctant to eat in gas stations. And, you know, I think statistics say that maybe 50% of the people who go and buy gas will go inside. And probably a smaller percentage will actually seek out the food. They just mm-hmm. don't expect it to be good. Yet.
So that's your mission.
That's what I do. I do it, you know, so other people can go and do it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's a dangerous job, but, uh-huh. you know, I've eaten some wild stuff out there. I had the most tender part of a cow one day.
Yeah, I was looking at all the adventures you've had, and I want to back up and kind of, from my perspective, you know, growing up, you would just go get gas, like you're saying, and I guess we got S&H green stamps in the day, but you didn't need money besides for gas to go to the, unless you needed oil for your car or something. And I'm curious, when did all this start? Like, when did the small gas stations start expanding to where they would offer not only, you know, soft drinks and all, but start looking at this? Is there profit to be made in the, you know, in these convenience store type of places besides gas?
Oh, absolutely.
Why would people do this?
And really, right now, in today's environment, the profit really does come from the food. There's a very small margin on gasoline. People think, you know, if I'm paying $3 for gas, uh-huh. the guy running the gas station is making a lot of money, but he really isn't. He's making maybe 5 cents a gallon, if he makes that at all.
Okay.
And so developing a food program was a mm-hmm. way for them to make money. And, you know, I wish I could peg when it became you know, sort of, you know, a you know, kind of a big deal in gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
Places in Lake Charles like Cormie's have been doing great
renowned.
Food for years. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've worked at Lake Charles Memorial Hospital. And I remember a buddy of mine said, well, you know, you can't get married in this town unless you have chicken salad from Cormie's at your wedding. Because the marriage will never work. And I never forgot that. And mm-hmm. years later, when I did the gas station gourmet, one of the first ones I shot was at Cormie's.
I saw that. They have more than just food, though.
Oh, yeah, they do. That's they sell meat and...
Yeah, yeah, one-stop shop. You can wash your dog there. I mean, you can do all kinds
of
things.
And, you know, gas stations have sort of evolved into these really unique places mm-hmm. that most people just don't go inside. Because they're expecting, you know, Slim, you know, these...
Slim Jims, you know, yeah.
Slim Jims, stuff like that, that are absolutely delicious, but they think that's all mm-hmm. that might be in there, or the rubber hot dogs rolling around on a roller grill. And I mean, you go into places where people plan menus. Mm-hmm. There's a place right outside of Austin in a town called Round Rock, and it's the High Country Market and Gastro Pub, and it's run by a level 2 sommelier. And so the wine in this is amazing. And, I mean, it's an Exxon station where you can buy a $450 bottle of Cristal champagne.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, I mean, the food is great. And so uh-huh. I interviewed him for a story. And this guy is so particular. Like, it took him 2 weeks to figure out what blend of meat he wanted to put in his hamburger. Mm-hmm. And so he really thinks of everything. And the most amazing thing there was, I go into a gas station, I'll eat. And if something's not right, I just don't write a story because I'm not a critic. I'm just a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I had the hamburger and fries, and the fries were amazing. I thought, these were the best fries I've ever had. And when I introduced myself, and I said, boy, these fries are great. And he cocked his head, and he kind of looked at me funny. And he said, the fries are great. I said, oh, God, they're amazing. And then it hit me. I had this, the light bulb went off on my head and his at the same time. I said, it's the ketchup, isn't it? And he went, it is the ketchup.
Oh.
And so he makes these.
Custom blended.
Yes. It costs $300 for him to make a bowl of ketchup. But it's the number one thing that people ask for in his store when they buy something. And they will bring, customers will bring containers. And he'll fill their containers, let them leave with the ketchup.
And they buy a little wine while they're there.
Buy a lot of wine while they're there. And he's got an amazing beer selection. And what's interesting, again, keeping in mind this is a gas station, he does wine classes every Tuesday. And they're filled. And so I went there one Tuesday night, and the place was packed, upscale customers learning about wine from this guy who knows a lot about wine. And he does the same thing with
fun.
Beer. It is fun. Yeah. And the food's great. The people are great. He does a Frito pie there that's like no Frito pie I've ever had before. Mm-hmm. It's not like we get at basketball games here, although I do love the Frito pies at basketball.
Of course you
here.
Do. Yeah, that's just the best.
They're so good.
So you travel all 50 states. I mean, you're not just driving from Lafayette to Austin, let's say, or around Rock or whatever. You tell us about that. I mean, this started out, you were just doing this on a whim. You did a few episodes, and then now tell me about what your, what is your year like? Do you plan out your adventures?
You know, I shoot from the hip, just like I've always done all my life, which is a bad way. Kids, don't do that. Plan your lives better than I did. But a lot of times I'll get emails or calls from people saying, hey, you ought to try this, you ought to try that. Hey, we're doing this. So, it's what I call kind of a niche fame. Like people in the industry kind of know me. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get, correspondence from them. I'll get regular emails from people.
Come visit us?
Yeah.
Like, will they invite you to come visit?
Yeah, come try this. And one morning I jumped in the car and drove to Alabama. to eat at this place and had really good. It was it was one of the top, I think, 60 things you had to eat in Alabama before you died. And it was this cheesecake. It was a pecan pie cheesecake that was really, really good. And I mean, everything in this place was good. And it was a theme place. They had, it was called the Derailed Diner, which was part of a truck stop. And the way it was built is they had like full-size train cars that had crashed into the building. Really interesting design. But one of the dining areas was like an old train dining car. And so it's kind of nostalgic, kind of fun. So, yeah, I'll drive there. I drove to the middle of nowhere, again, in some place in Mississippi, in a forest, I think it was, to go have soul food on Sunday at this place. And it was amazing food.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere. It is a lot of fun. And, we find some great places. I was in Missouri not long ago at a place that had, iced coffee for the first time. I never had that. But it comes out cold. It's called cold brew coffee, actually. And I mean, it was strong. It was good. As good as anything we get here in Louisiana, I think. And of course, I had a great hot dog there, but they had a lot of healthy stuff there. And that's a big trend now. You're seeing a lot of gas stations in urban areas or outside urban areas that are doing more healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer everything deep fried and then covered with gravy. But there are people out there who, for whatever reason, want to eat
choices.
Healthy food. Yeah, they're low on flavor, high on health.
Uh-huh.
I'm
seeing that here, though. Is that something that you think we'll be getting in the South?
I wonder about that.
It's hard to find even fresh fruit sometimes.
Know,
if you just want a banana or an apple, if you've got your child and you're going in.
But you leave the state, and you find a lot of fresh fruit. I mean, there's one store that always has fresh bananas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chain. I can't remember the name of the chain, but they go through thousands of bananas every day. But oddly enough, most truck stops, believe it or not, have fresh fruit. You would never think that.
Yeah.
But most people, if they gas up at a truck stop, they would never go inside.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the best food I've had in the country have been at truck stops, because truckers are traveling, they want great food.
Live on the road.
And they spend a lot of time paying attention to the quality of the food,
mm-hmm.
but also they have healthy offerings now, which, tends to be a trend.
Well, this is big business, like we were talking, with over 154,000 convenience stores, and I guess it's called C-stores, is that what they call themselves? So you've got a lot of places you can go. Talk about their industry. I know you just got back from a road trip.
Yeah.
If you would talk about that some and what the industry is like, because we usually just see like our local corner store, but I didn't realize it was part of a bigger industry.
Oh, it's huge. It's a $1 trillion industry. And there's two kinds of convenience stores. There's the ones that are corporate. Circle K, 7-Eleven, you know, I believe 7-Eleven may have more than 50,000 stores across the world. I don't know, I may be wrong on that number, but it's big. And the ones I focus on are the family-owned or individually-owned convenience stores or gas stations. And I like those because, you know, it's great people stories, you know. And I've heard some amazing stories from people. Cormie's, for instance, the Mr. Cormie, who just recently retired, sold the store. But
he was a
third-generation owner of that store. His grandfather cleared that land with mules and dynamite in the 1930s, you know, and you think, and it's kind of on the outskirts of Lake Charles still today.
Although Lake Charles is growing so much.
It's
out by the country club.
Right.
But out of the city limits.
Correct.
So.
It's on the way to the marsh.
Right.
And, but you think, you know, in the 1930s, how far out of town that must have been. And, you know, it's really weird how people get into the food business because Merle Cormie told me, you know, he, his dad had a little store and he was repairing, his grandfather had a store, they were repairing stuff. And someone said, you know, you ought to sell cold drinks here. Well, okay. So he sells cold. You know, it'd be nice if you had sandwiches. So he starts selling sandwiches. And the whole thing just grew from that until, you know, it became an industry. And there's a great place here in Acadiana in New Iberia called Freeman's Food and Furniture. And, you know, when you think about it, it is, and when it's the season, it's also fireworks. And so, you know, as the holidays approach, it will be Freeman's Food, Furniture, and Fireworks. And
that's a mouthful.
It is, but it's amazing food. And I went there to see what was going on there. And you walk into this store. It's kind of a superette sort of thing, kind of a convenience store superette. And you walk in, and there's groceries and lottery tickets and everything. But on the right, there's a furniture store. So you can go in there and get amazing shrimp stew and a sofa all at the same time. And it's really clever, clever people. And Mr. Freeman told me that his, I think it was his grandfather, had the store, and it was just a little grocery store in the 1940s. And went to the racetrack with a guy one day, and the guy said, hey, would you, my daughter's getting married, would you hang on to this dresser for me? Well, put it at the store. And so he puts it in the store, and customers started going in there to buy bread, and hey, I want to buy that. And he all of a sudden went, you know, I could sell furniture here.
Ready market.
So in the 1940s, he starts selling furniture, you know, and, you know, next thing you know, it's Freeman's Food and Furniture, and they've been in business since the 40s. So you find those kind of really interesting stories. And the children, you know, down from those original people story, still in the business because they have a lot of passion for their family's business. And, you know, and I find that all over America.
I wonder if it's the personalities that are behind that. You know, a lot of people don't have a, I guess they call it a succession plan because their kids don't necessarily want to be a lawyer or run a, you know, a bank or something. But in this business, the people you're interviewing, I don't want to call them characters, but they're unique. You know, some of them are offbeat, but they're very successful at what they do, and they look like they're having fun. They enjoy serving the public.
They have a lot of fun.
A servant attitude, though. They're there to make people's day better, and that's different than a lot of other types of businesses.
You know, that's so true, Jan. This store owner in Florida told me that, you know, he tells the staff every day, you know, when people come in the store in the morning, they may have a spouse that they don't like and doesn't like them. They may be going to a job that they hate. But they come in this store, and the only smile that they see in the morning is your smile behind the counter, selling them donuts, a honey bun, or coffee. And that seems to be the attitude of so many of these people, that they care about the customers. They have... they endeavor to form a relationship with the customers. And so consequently, the customers become very loyal to them.
Right.
And, you know, they do a lot of things to keep the loyalty. You know, we have loyalty cards all over now, and which, you know, gives you a discount. We love our loyalty cards. But, you know, these people have been doing, have had loyalty strategies long before there were loyalty cards. And little things like a lady up in Virginia told me that she makes sure that every one of her employees learns the name of the regular customers, the first name, because she said it's really hard now because credit cards don't have the names. You used to have the name on the card and you would know this is Bob. So they have to endeavor to ask the names, remember the names, and people will walk in and they'll say, oh, you know, Mr. Joe is here, you know, and they know what Joe wants every day and they order it for him. And so these people feel like there's a place that they belong.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we live in, you know, we're talking about technology earlier and robots and things like that. I think there's still something within human beings that we want to belong to something mm-hmm. that's kind of outside ourselves, and maybe something that's not made out of metal and parts. And
we need that connection.
Yeah. And, you know, believe it or not, you will find that in many of America's convenience stores. Uh-huh. It's crazy. But and people don't believe it sometimes, but I've seen it time and time again, and I've heard this story all over the country. People will tell me about how they connect with their customers every single day. They only see them at the store.
Right.
You know? And
but they get to know their lives, I'm sure. They hear the stories.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. and this is kind of a common story. This young lady up in Minnesota told me that she left home. You know, her dad had two convenience stores, one with a motel, because they needed a motel in town, and a washateria because they needed that. So everything was kind of connected to the convenience store. But she wanted to go off to college. So she went to California, got a degree in marketing, and she said, you know, I kind of missed it. Moved back home, and now she's running the stores for her father. And she told me, she said, you know, I don't know everyone's name, but I know them by what they order every uh-huh. single day. Mm-hmm. And she said, when someone dies, she said, I know, oh, that was scrambled eggs with toast and jelly.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like she said, I can't remember everybody, but when someone comes in, I know exactly what they're going to order. Mm-hmm. And so there's a connection there. It may not be, you know, where, oh, hello, Bob. But, you know, they know, you know, are you going to have scrambled? I'll have your scrambled eggs right. and toast and jelly out in a minute. And so there's a real connection there.
When you travel, you know, I'm curious here. We feel, and I believe that our food is really the best. I think you cannot beat South Louisiana for its cuisine. With that said, as you travel around the country, when you're in Minnesota, let's say, or Missouri or wherever, what is the food like when you have these unique things? Is it just for their area of the country, or do you just enjoy like the way they make the scrambled eggs or the stew? Like, what do you see distinctive patterns of cooking, you know, when you travel?
You do, and I mean, sometimes being from Louisiana, you sort of have to adjust your mm-hmm. expectations. like I was I may have been Texas or New Mexico, one of those places where someone offered me the most tender part of a cow. And, you know, very nice gentleman, put in like a little styrofoam cup, and, you know, you're just compelled to eat it.
It was
know?
Special.
Yeah. It was special. And I remember it was almost like a beefy pudding.
Ew.
Yeah. And, you know, I try to be polite and, you know, well, this is really tender. And it was disturbingly tender. And so, you know, you see that kind of stuff, and he explained, you know, well,
it's a delicacy.
This is authentic. You know, we don't put any seasoning in this. A lot of people think we season this, but they're wrong. We don't put any seasoning in. The meat seasons itself. And yeah, okay, I got it. And I mean, that's just what, you know, it's like when you brush your teeth for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Did you write about that?
I did not write about it. I never write about things that I, and you know, I would never say where this was and mm-hmm. because, you know, because there's obviously people who like it, you know, mm-hmm. and you see, every market is different. And what you know, it's funny. I ran into a place called West, the city of West, Texas, and it's on I-35. And there is a place there that sells 104,000 kolaches every 7 days.
What?
That's over 600 kolaches every hour. And when I went in there to do the story,
in West Texas,
tiny town of West, hardly mm-hmm. anybody lives there. Ooh, I hope that no one in West here, but the people who live there are good people and kind, loving people. But it's on the interstate, but they only had two billboards. And so, you know, with two billboards on a busy interstate, gosh, you know, I wonder, you know, what, that's not really a big marketing plan, you know? So I walk into the store to do the story, and there was a line down one wall and all the way down the other. And, They bake 24 hours a day. They have three shifts of bakers baking cakes and bread and kolaches and all that, but their big thing is kolaches, and kolaches are a Czechoslovakian pastry, often filled with cream or fruit, sometimes with meat, mm-hmm. and this particular area of Texas was settled by Czechoslovakians, so there's a lot of Czechoslovakian pastries there. But in the process of doing the story, just how many of these things do you sell? Because I said, there's a huge line. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time parking. and she calls someone, and this lady comes in with a sheet of paper that was torn in half. So obviously she had done the math, and 104,000 every 7 days.
That wears me out just thinking about it.
Yeah, 600 kilometers, over 600 an hour.
So people come, it's a destination when you're on the highway.
It is a destination. So I often wonder, how did people find out about this? Mm-hmm. And there's about, there's a number of other stores in this town that sell kolaches. And I asked the manager, said, what makes yours special? She said, ours are just better. Shrugged her shoulders. Ours are just better.
Kolache capital of the world.
but she had a really interesting story that I think is kind of interesting for business people to consider, because she was at a store about 30 miles away, about 30 minutes away. And they had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And the manager of this store told her, we can't keep these things. They fly off the shelves. People love peanut butter and jelly. And she said, I was stunned. So she heads back to her store, gets with her little team of bakers, mm-hmm. and said, we're going to come up with our own peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and we will bake a special bread for this.
Oh.
And people will love it. Took them about 2 weeks to figure the bread out. I mean, this is a lot of attention to detail. Figure out the blend of peanut butter mm-hmm. and jelly. They make the sandwiches. They put them out. And they sat
there. They fly?
Nobody bought them.
Really?
No one bought them. Now, you're talking a store with a huge amount of traffic going through.
I thought with little children, people stopping, they'd want it.
Didn't sell.
Because they wanted the kolaches.
We don't know. She mm-hmm. was puzzled. She was absolutely puzzled as how these things were flying off the shelves 30 miles away, but she couldn't give them away in her store. Uh-huh. And I hear that so often. And, you know, it's really weird that when people go into a place, they may expect one thing, perhaps kolaches, and they're somewhere else. I interviewed a guy in North Carolina who sells fried bologna sandwiches. Now, that's something we used to eat when I was a kid, you know. But I never thought that that would be a sellable item mm-hmm. in a food program. Can't keep them. People love them. You know, under $3, $2 and something. I said, what is it? Why do people love these things? He said, well, you know, you would do it at home, but, you know, I'm going to fry them for you here for $2. Why, you know, why
right.
would you? And that's what it is. His theory was people would like to go out mm-hmm. to eat a bologna sandwich rather than eat in. So
that's funny.
You just never know what's going to sell in these places. And it's the craziest thing sometimes.
So these are mainly small towns you're talking about. Do you find gourmet food in large cities, or is it mainly the small towns?
I mainly find these stores in small towns. Occasionally I'll find something in an urban area. For instance, I found a place in, I don't know if I call it urban, Bloomington, Indiana. You know, it's, you know.
Is that as big as Lafayette?
I don't know. It might be. I think, I can't remember. There's a team of some sort there. But it may be one of the larger towns I've actually, you uh-huh. know, written about or a story in. And this guy, I've written a lot about gas station barbecue, but this guy does this thing. He bought this barbecue pit from some guy, and it was shaped like a train. And so this guy had built this pit that was shaped like a train, an engine. And so he had never owned a convenience store before, never barbecued. So he buys this barbecue pit. And the guy says, look, you buy this from me, I'll teach you to barbecue. And I hear that story a lot, by the way. You buy this, I'll teach you to barbecue. So he teaches this guy to barbecue. And every Thursday he does a thing called the barbecue train. And there is a line in this parking lot that is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it's turned into this sort of networking marketing thing for people in the local community, because this gas station sits amongst all these kind of an industrial area where there's all these storage buildings. You got to really look for this place. But I wish I had the figures on the sales, but he does like thousands. I mean, I want to say maybe $10,000 on Thursdays. And he makes this macaroni and cheese that it took him 2 weeks to develop, a blend of cheeses and pasta. Sells it for $8 a pint. People love this stuff.
And it's like a meet and greet at the same time.
It's a meet and greet.
Bring your business card.
The line was 50 yards. Mm-hmm. That is a long line, a 50-yard line. People, and there's seven pits cooking beef mm-hmm. and pork and everything you can imagine. And
that's fun, though. That's fun to have something to look forward to.
And you know, people find these things, mm-hmm. you know, and it works for them. Uh-huh. And, you know, when people find that, like Cormie's chicken salad, you know, when I interviewed Mr. Cormie, they were doing 100 pounds of chicken salad a day.
That's amazing. I do have to say, my husband, John Swift, is from Lake Charles. He thinks Cormie's is the best. And I've had to disagree with him because I don't know. I've never been there. You know, it sounds delicious. There's so many good places like this, but he swears to me that you never have anything that's just not A1 first class at Cormie's. So
it's really good. Next time you have a date night, have them take you to the gas station for dinner.
Okay.
You know?
It's a deal.
It is really romantic.
Well, his brother's there. He lives right there. So.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, you know, it could still be date night. They now have LED lights in there, which is very romantic.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah. Everybody looks good.
Yeah, everybody looks good under LEDs. And, you know, I mean, it's and you know, I did this thing called the chicken salad tour, where I would go around and eat chicken salad, because Cormie's was really good. And then I ended up at a place in Texas called Texas Best Smokehouse. And, you know, talk about the relationship with customers. I walk into this place, and it's really nice looking, kind of upscale place on I-20. And I walk through the door, and instead of a greeter, some guy yells at me from behind the counter, "Hey, you want to try the jerky?" I went, "Sure, you know, free jerky, of course." Mm-hmm. I want it. And it was great jerky, so I started shooting the bull with him, and come to find out, you know, that the chicken salad sandwich was their biggest seller, which stunned me. I mean, I would at that point never have bought chicken salad, mm-hmm. you know, especially in a gas station. But they made their
chicken.
Yeah,
you don't know how old it is. You think, oh, I don't want to eat it.
But their chicken salad was made from barbecue chicken.
What?
It was incredibly good.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I would stab someone in the eye for that chicken salad. It was so good. And then, you know, there's a great place right here in Acadiana in Eunice. It's called College Station Mudbugs. And they do chicken salad. They do this crazy chicken salad there. They make their chicken salad with fried chicken. And instead of putting sweet relish, they put dill and a little bit of jalapeno. And it is incredibly good. And my wife is addicted to it. I've got to go there and buy it every time I'm in the Eunice area. And it is incredibly good chicken salad. And chicken salad's one of those things where it's different all over the country.
Right.
But it always seems to be good.
Right.
And it always seems to be a big seller in these stores. And so, you know, that's the kind of weird stuff you find in the country. Uh-huh. People who, you know, they find something that people in the market like, and they just go with it and they make money.
I had a couple of questions for you. Some of the background information. While we're talking about food that people can buy, before I get to the next question, I wanted to bring up Crispy Crunchy Chicken. You mentioned Neil Onabane, and that's a local success story, if you want to maybe mention that, because we're talking about all over the country, but we have phenomenal things going on from people based in our area. So,
Crispy Crunchy Chicken is an amazing story. I have never, up until a couple of weeks ago, going to Chicago, I had never eaten Crispy Crunchy Chicken, and really never went into a place that served it, because I assumed that it was, you know, frozen, and I really don't go into, I try to find foods that people create in a store. But we were in rural Mississippi. I was with a guy named Frank Beard from Gas Buddy, which, you know, gets a lot of press during hurricanes, and they're just a great company. They're an app, actually, a gas finding app. And so Frank is kind of the exact opposite of me. Frank eats healthy and exercises a lot. I don't eat healthy and try not to make any sudden moves or move too quickly. So, you know, Frank called and said, "Hey, I'm going to fly down to New Orleans. Let's drive to Chicago to the NACS show together." And so Frank told me about, he said, "Have you ever had Crispy Crunchy Chicken?" I went, "Oh, no." And I said, "I don't do that kind of stuff."
I'm a gourmet. Yeah.
Are you kidding? Look at this cap. And so we were in rural Mississippi late at night, and it's hard sometimes to find good food in rural Mississippi late at night. So we stopped in this gas station that really was probably not, you know, the staff was not probably as enthusiastic about their jobs as one might hope. And so there was Crispy Crunchy Chicken that had been there for probably a couple of hours or so. I got it. It was the most amazing chicken I've ever had. And when I sort of split it apart to see what was going on in there, I could see that the seasoning was so evenly distributed throughout the chicken. And I said to Frank, I said, you know, they must inject this. Mm-hmm. But I said, how in the world could they inject every piece of chicken? There's, you know, that's space technology or something. And run up to the NACS show, and come to find out, I meet the owner of the company, Neil Onabane, who's from Church Point, of all the crazy places. And come to find out, we know the same people. His brother lives in Rain. I met the son, and you know, you know, who's your mama, who's your daddy, you know. And so it's a great story. And
The product is all over.
The product is over 3,000 locations in I don't know how many countries. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is the chicken's never frozen. He's got an incredible distribution program. The chicken is indeed injected. It comes from Tyson. It's fresh. It's injected with the seasoning, just like we do our turkeys at Thanksgiving or, you know, pork roast and all that kind of stuff. It's injected. It's very, very Cajun. And it is amazing chicken. And he started doing this in the 70s when he owned a couple of convenience stores. So it's a great Louisiana story. It's a huge success story. And the interesting thing, there were 24,000 people at the NACS show. And the line for crispy, crunchy chicken, there was, you know, everybody was there. There mm-hmm. was, you know, like, you know, the donut people were there. Nestle was there. All the big food companies were there. But the longest line throughout the whole show, those several days, was a crispy, crunchy chicken. And it's an incredible product. They have great fried fish. Yeah. I mean, the fish is incredible.
I'm going to check it out.
Oh, you got to.
It makes me hungry.
Oh, man.
Thinking about it.
I got to tell you, it's very, very mm-hmm. good chicken. It's probably is it the best I've had? It may be the best I've had.
That's good to know right from here in Louisiana.
I know. And I mean, right here, you know, so you feel like you're doing something for Louisiana when you eat crispy, crunchy chicken, you know.
I want to hear a couple about your couple of stories. I know you've not only tried food, but you've had adventures as you've been on the road. And you had mentioned in some information that you had been to possibly a place where you saw Hitler's limo.
Yeah, that's a, you know, I drive
I don't want
everywhere.
To glorify him, but the story
no,
sounds
but
good.
No, but it's weird what you'll find. You know, I always tell people, you got to get out of, you know, when you fill up, you know, get out of the car, walk inside and see what you're going to see. I've seen amazing things, and I was going to speak at this event in Phoenix, and I drove. And I'm a really cheap speaker. My fees are not cheap, but my travel's cheap because I drive. So just keep that in mind. My number's on the internet. Call me. So I'm driving to Phoenix, and I kept seeing these signs all along the road. Mystery of the desert, mystery of the desert. Yeah, I mean, there like it seemed like every 100 yards there was a sign. I mean, and you kind of see this in old movies where there were just tons of billboards. And so, you know, it didn't take long before I've got to stop at this mm-hmm. place. So I finally go to this place. It's called The Thing is the name of it. And, you know, it's actually, it's kind of an interesting place.
It sounds scary. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. It's apparently when the owner of this place bought it, it came with this old, something that used to be like a traveling sideshow. And there were all these exhibits. And for a dollar, you get to go see them. So I paid a dollar to go in. And one of the first things you see is this limousine, a 1930s, you know, Mercedes limousine with a mannequin with the Hitler mustache and thing. And it's, you know, Hitler's limo. And so I said, wow. I said, I can't believe
jackpot, yeah.
I'm finding Hitler's limo in rural Arizona. And she said, well, I can't say it's not his limo.
Uh-huh.
And
the disclaimer said it all,
you know. And so there was just all these kind of weird things in there. And I did see the mystery of the desert, which isn't the limo, but I was sworn to secrecy mm-hmm. because the big thing is that they don't want anybody to know what the mystery of the desert is. But the interesting thing about this place, a gas station, you know, is, you know, the manager was telling me they have grandparents coming in with their grandchildren who tell her, my grandfather brought me here to see this place. Uh-huh. And so it's this generational weird kind of thing. And
it's fun, though.
People pay a dollar. Mm-hmm. And when you stop and think from a business standpoint, they'll have 400 people go through there a day. They're making $400 and they're not doing anything except collecting the money.
And then people probably want to buy something while they're there.
So. Souvenirs, shirts, that kind of stuff. And,
right.
and so it's really cool. And you find this kind of stuff in mm-hmm. America's gas stations. There's a place in South Carolina. This guy turned his barn into a convenience store. And, you know, he had the whole top level of the barn. He built it as a barn, but said, you know, I really don't need it. But, you know, the town needs a store. You know, it's a small town. So, he turns it into a convenience store. And he's had all this room upstairs. So he turned it into like a flea market consignment place. So now there's like refrigerators up there. So you can go and you can buy fried quail, which I'd never seen before. And, you know, perhaps an old washer and dryer up there. And you find all this unusual stuff in various parts of the country.
Right.
You know, I mean.
It makes me want to hop in my car mm-hmm. and just drive.
And you got to find the out of the way.
Because road trips are great. I mean, there's nothing more fun, really, than having your family. We've done that before. Just head out west. And we would just stop where we stopped and really had a great time.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, you can't be afraid to stop in a place that doesn't look great.
Right.
You know, because I stop in a lot of places that are kind of sketchy.
But you do check out the restroom. We talked about that. The restroom is kind of the identifier of, is this a cool place? Or
Now, if I'm with my family, you know, they're kind of funny about the restrooms. My wife works in a hospital lab. She knows about germs. You know, that's a whole different show.
You can just fry food, though, and no more germs.
That's what I say. Yeah, you know, right. It's deep fried. You know, it's clean as can be. And but, you know, she's really funny. I, on the other hand, it's my job. You know, I take risk for my job. It's a risky job.
You're a brave man, though. We knew that.
Someone's got to do it. You know, I do that so America can get this information they need so badly.
Thank you, Al.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
But we do look at, you know, cleanliness. I know women are probably more into that than men, but we do check out the restroom. And
I do. I'm appalled sometimes at what I find in restrooms. I mean, on our trip to Chicago, I took a lot of pictures in restrooms, which is kind of dicey if you're taking flash photography in a restroom. Man, you just got to make sure no one's in there because it's really hard to explain to the police what you're doing. Done that more than once. But I am a journalist, so someone's got to do it. But, you know, I'm always amazed at you know, Buc-ee's is one of those places in Texas that's famous for their restrooms. But there's a lot of places with great restrooms. You know, Texas Best Smokehouse has great restrooms. And, you know, there's a lot of there's a lady in Jennings who owns a little place called the Hobo Parkview Deli. Hobo Parkview Hobo Deli. And when she remodeled, she created a restroom that was super clean, not fancy, but super, super clean. And, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, this is a little place. I mean, Jennings, which is not very far from here, they do amazing chicken tenders. And, you know, I write a lot about attention to detail. You know, like the guy who makes the $300 ketchup. I mean, who would ever think that making ketchup could make a big difference? But, you know, his thing is everything on a plate adds to the experience of the meal. Well, you know, she was doing frozen chicken tenders. One day she decides, well, I'm going to do them fresh. So she gets chicken breast. She cuts the fat off of and then washes each one by hand. And she was making a dipping sauce, and they were doing about one bowl of sauce a week. Well, when she changed to the fresh tenders, cutting the fat off, washing by hand, they were making a batch of dipping sauce every day because people love the chicken tenders, and they were going, they could taste the difference. And I always tell people when I talk to groups that, you know, customers taste fresh, you know, and you would be surprised. You know, you might, if you were going through the town of Jennings, you might not think, well, I'm going to stop at the Hobo Parkview and, you know, Hobo Deli and eat. The food's amazing there. Mm-hmm. The hamburgers are crazy good.
It's off the interstate?
It's actually in town. You have to take the interstate, kind of go into town, but it's not hard to find. Mm-hmm. But they have this thing that she there's a lot of accidents I run into that turn into almost gourmet items. She has a thing called Hobo Mud, which she was going to bake cookies one day. You know, accidentally substituted sugar instead of flour and came out with this thing that's sort of a hybrid. It's almost candy, almost cookie, but it's the most incredible thing I've ever had. It's so delicious.
Yum.
It is good.
Mud.
Yeah. And you know, one of the reasons I wrote the story about it originally, talking about customer service and that relationship that you have with customers, I walked in there. I had to be in Jennings on business one day, and I go into the store around 9 in the morning. You know, I'm thinking I want a biscuit and gravy because there's nothing healthier in the morning than a fresh biscuit with gravy on it.
That is healthy?
Especially the gravy with the sauce. Oh, my God, it's better than a banana or an apple.
Oh, I see.
It's got everything you need for the day.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, fiber, vitamins.
Man, and gravy. You know, America runs on gravy. At least the South, we run on gravy in Louisiana. And the young lady behind the counter said, you know, we were slammed for breakfast. We are out of biscuits. And I said, well, I'll just, you know, get like this. And, no. She said, if you want a biscuit, I will bake you a biscuit. I went, you will bake me one biscuit? She said, yes. You want a biscuit? If you've got 10 minutes, I will bake you a biscuit fresh. And I'm thinking, wow, I felt like the mayor, you know? I mean, I walk in a place and I mean, and you know, it's funny. I write a lot about customer service, but when someone really goes that extra mile for you, I mean, I really felt good.
Right.
And so
you can tell everyone, like you said.
I did. And I mean, 10 minutes later, there's this fresh biscuit with tons of gravy on it, and it was absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. And so I took a picture of these two people And I said, well, you know, I think I'm going to do a story. So I pitched it to my editor, and she said, yeah, it sounds like a good story. Ended up finding, you know, this great story, great food. Everything is done from scratch here.
Isn't that amazing, though?
It is, because you don't expect that.
Yeah, you just picture
scratch.
Yeah, a fine dining experience with linens and all. And, and not that they're not fine dining, but you just don't picture this.
I know. And, you know, when it comes to attention to detail, she said, you know, a lot of people come to this side of town for our beverages. And I'd gotten a Diet Coke to go with this, you know, biscuit and gravy. I thought, wow, this tastes really good. And, you know, sometimes people put a little extra syrup. They tweak it. Well, what she does, and this is interesting for people who, you know, go out a lot or, like, go to self-serve and get Cokes, she takes the nozzles off the drink machine every single day at the end of the day and cleans them. And so the beverage is, like, super fresh and good. Mm-hmm. And not every place does that, believe it or not. And I find myself looking up under beverage machines. You know, I'm surprised I don't get arrested. I'm looking under beverage machines. I'm taking pictures in restrooms. Guys, they're going to have my picture on.
You're going to make it fun.
But, you know, that's the kind of thing you find in these gas stations. Mm-hmm. That, you know, these entrepreneurs, they're really kind of like the cowboys, you know, of today. They're kind of out on their own. They're independent. They've got to make these decisions. If they make a mistake, it costs them money. They don't have corporate backup. So these people really, really, you know, try harder than you know, big corporate places do. You know?
On behalf of all of us, I'm so thrilled that you are out there scouting out the best places, Al, because you, for people that are listening to this podcast, Al exudes energy, and you're fun to be with, and I'm just want to thank you for taking time today, not only to speak with us, but to share what you obviously love, because this is fun. You've got me now wanting to get on the road. So how can we find out more about you, the Gas Station Gourmet?
Well, we are on, of course, Facebook. You can look us up at Gas Station Gourmet on Facebook. We www.gasstationgourmet.com. Let's see. I'm on Twitter. Don't use Twitter quite as much as I should probably. But, you know, I always tell folks, you know, if you know of good gas station food, you know,
you'll take some tips.
Yeah, go to Facebook. Send me a message on Facebook. Go to Gas Station Gourmet.
I'm hoping that happens, because, you know, there's so many right here in Acadiana.
There's tons of them here. Mm-hmm. There's amazing food
I've got
here.
One for you. I was telling you about Mouton's out on Highway 1252 outside of Karen Crow.
One of the first Gas Station Gourmets we shot, you know, we shot several in a couple of days, was at a place called Athena, which is gas station here in Lafayette.
On Collie Saloon at Marshall. That's got to be some of the best
amazing Lebanese Mediterranian food there. And
it's delicious. And you can see it. It's all so fresh. It's just right in front of you.
It's right there. And I bet a lot of people go there, they gas up, they don't go inside. And that's, you know, I always tell people, you know, go inside, see what's in there. You know, you're going to meet some interesting people.
And their baklava. Is to die for.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. I'm glad you brought them up, because that's a place we go quite a bit.
I love that place. I love it too. And you know, they were a really good they were a good interview, you know,
when
we did the television interview there. Yeah. And but they're all over. You know, there's a really interesting place on I-49 called Sam's or Sammy's Truck Stop, and they marinate their hamburgers. And I tried, and I watched them, because I always try to figure out how people do it. I'm never successful. And I marinated a hamburger patty, and it completely fell apart. So I don't know how they do it. And they had great
banana pudding.
Well,
that's why they're in business to do that.
Yes, and I'm not. And that's why I write. You know, those of us who can't do right. And I always tell people, you know, find these places. If you find a great place, you know, send me a message, you know.
So we can look you up, Gas Station Gourmet, on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yes. We'll do that. And I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day. And while we're at it, I would love to thank Jason Sakura for producing this episode today, and Raider Solutions. We're here in the beautiful Light Center, right by Cajun Dome Boulevard, by Lita across the street. And again, Raider Solutions is here to offer any IT solutions you might need. So I want to thank you guys for making this possible today. It's a pleasure doing this. I can't tell you how much I love taping Discover Lafayette. Please check us out at discoverlafayette.net and anywhere that you get your podcast, iTunes, or any media that you listen to, you can find Discover Lafayette. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jan Swift.